Welcome to the Aquarimax Audio Show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 163, recorded May 20th, 2013.
Okay, that was like the 17th take, so we're just gonna keep it.
I'm sorry.
Kelly's got the giggles this evening.
Okay. I do. Okay, so I told you before we started is that this is we're in both in a goofy mood. This is going to be a goofy podcast. Okay,
well, you have to give your greeting in a language you're going to do it in Cornish this time.
Yes,
right?
Yes, and I make no guarantee that I will say it correctly because I don't speak Cornish.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
And I guess it's good day in Cornish. So, mitnda.
Okay.
And so if we have any Cornish speaking listeners, you can
correct your pronunciation.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, so, who have we got lined up for the day?
I'm working on finding that out.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Tom in Provo, and Greg in Jamestown, and Ryan in Arizona,
and
you.
Me?
You have something to say we forget every time, so now this is me reminding you that you would like to contribute to our podcast and say this thing of which you forget every time.
Okay, cool. We'll get there then.
Okay.
Sounds good.
No, now.
Oh, now I'm going to say that.
Because that's why I just reminded you.
Oh, okay. Well, I was contacted by the, I guess it's called Lifelong Learning at our local university. They wanted me to teach a class on aquarium keeping. And so I'm going to be teaching one. And they said, please spread it around. And so
we're spreading.
This is my official spread right now.
Yep, and it's like a little boutique class. It's like
what's a boutique class? I've never
like
heard
a
of that.
Little one.
Oh yeah, it's just a 3-week class.
Once a week
in the evenings from 6:30 to 8 p.m.
And what day?
On Thursdays.
On Thursdays. So if any of our listeners that are, you know, local to the University of Utah, if you want to sign up for it.
Yeah, there aren't. I know most of our listeners are not local, but we do have local listeners, like Tom in Provo for one. No pressure, Tom, but
there you go. Pressure.
No, but it starts on June 13th, and it goes that day and then 2 more weeks, always on Thursday evening. So I'm just spreading that around. If you want to look it up, I'll put the link on the show page, and you can like it, and then people know that you like it.
And that's a good thing.
Anyway, it should be fun to teach an evening class just on aquariums. It'd be cool. I'm kind of looking forward to doing that. That'll be fun. It's basically to help people who are wondering why they are having trouble with aquariums. Why they've tried it before. They've never tried it, and they're not sure they could do it. Or they have tried it, and they haven't quite succeeded. Or they've succeeded to a limited degree and want to kind of branch out. That's what it's for. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Should be fun.
It will be fun. Okay.
Oh, I gotta say something else, too.
Okay, what?
Okay. I was looking at the aquarium. I was going to take a video of a couple of bristlenoses, this pair that I have in the 20-gallon in our room.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about them kind of kicking up a little detritus into the water column in the tank, and I decided I wanted to move them, and then I decided, wait, I have more bristlenoses than I know what to do with. Why don't I sell this pair? So I was going to take a photo of the pair, put them on Aquabit, and sell them. But I didn't. Because they were being shy.
That's what you wanted to tell, is that you didn't take the photo.
No, what I wanted to tell you is that I had the camera right there, and I had just fed the fish. You know, I was trying to entice them to come into the corner where I wanted to take the picture, and I actually used my target feeder to put a couple of pellets of sinking food right in the spot where I wanted to take the picture. But I couldn't get both the male and the female to be there at the same time, so I didn't take a picture of them. I noticed that a little piece of food had fallen into the gravel, and because it's in the place where the filter kind of pushes the water down towards the gravel, right in that spot. And it pushed this piece of food down, but up against the side of the tank. And I noticed that I saw several amphipods gathering around this piece of food and eating it, and some planaria.
Ooh.
Flatworms, you know. So I got a video of the amphipods and the planaria gathering around the food. And this is the funny thing, I hardly ever see a planarian out in the water column. I've seen one or two, and that's it. Now, usually if you see a lot of planaria, you know, zipping around on the glass, it means you're overfeeding the tank heavily, and that's a problem. And with a lot of amphipods around the tank, it's often a sign that you're overfeeding. But with a heavily planted tank where they have an unlimited supply of, say, java moss to eat,
it's not really a feeding thing.
It's not really an overfeeding thing because healthy plant growth is what you want, and that's what's feeding them. So, but with the planaria, I was surprised to see that many of them in such a small area. So I'm wondering what's going on. Like I said, I almost never see them out and about. There was a conglomeration of planaria, a big group of them, right in the gravel in this spot. So I'm curious. I'm going to investigate it a little bit. But I got a shot of them, a video, and I want to show everybody. So I'm going to put that on the YouTube and everything. You can check it out. Talk a little bit about aquarium pests, maybe. They haven't been pestiferous so far, but they can get that way.
That's an awesome word.
Yeah.
Pestiferous.
I like it. It's one of the 10 favorite words of the day.
Excuse me.
So there we go. That's about all I wanted to say on that topic.
Okay. Very good.
Where are we going next?
Shall we go to the people who have written to us?
Yes.
Okay.
Let us do
even
exactly
so.
That.
Okay. We're going to hear from Tom first in Provo.
Tom in Provo. Okay.
Yep. The very same.
And he's responding to, last week we talked a little bit about Harlequin rasporus.
Mm-hmm. Was it him that was asking for the tank? Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
He was.
He says, first let me say that I very much agree with Rob's choice of Harlequin rasporus as a schooling fish. Not only are they both active and attractive, I would describe them as black and copper colored with red tips, but they are very hardy and have over the years thrived when other denizens of my tank expired. The Harlequins and one Cory were the only survivors of my tank's great 2011 ick epizootic.
Like an epidemic. Like
that's a good word, episodic. Too. It's right up there with pestiferous.
Yeah, there you go. Kind of related, too.
Mm-hmm. I certainly don't recommend keeping fish in poor conditions, but if such conditions occur, Harlequin rasporus seem better able to deal with them than most.
I like Harlequin rasporus, too. Yeah, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. Glad you brought that up.
They're pretty hardy. He says, second, I don't have a recommendation for a contrasting fish for the Harlequins, but the question started me thinking about other combinations for tanks with schooling fish. A large tank with maybe 15 each tiger barbs and green barbs would, I think, be really eye-catching. The green tiger barbs I've seen don't really look very green to me, but would still contrast nicely with the regular tiger barbs. I'd like to try it someday. And he sent us a link to a picture of the tank that he has set up right now.
Yeah, it's a nice bow front. Mm-hmm. So check it out. I like the way he's done the layout. And, of course, the fish are beautiful, so check it out.
So, very good. Thank
That'll
you,
Tom.
That'll
be on our show page. The link will be on our show page. And next, who's coming up, I think it's someone from California. That's what my sixth sense is telling me.
Yes, your sixth iPad sense?
Yes.
Okay, your iPad sense says it's Gregory. Greg in Jamestown.
Jamestown, California.
Yes, mm-hmm. near my hometown.
Yep.
Okay, so he said, I listened to the podcast last night, and you were talking about native fish and them living in streams. I came across this video on YouTube a few years ago, and I've been wanting to make one, but I'm still not sure if I'm going to. If you go to the guy's page, he has some video showing the tank in action with large clown loaches and rainbows in it. He also has, or had, it connected to a few other tanks by aqua bridges, so the fish could get out of the current. Another native fish for the contributor to look into is a pygmy sunfish. They are southeastern fish, mostly found in Florida, but they have a hard time feeding them anything but live foods. I've also heard that in Europe, keeping fish from North America is more common. Maybe some of the listeners from over there can help with some ideas of what they see in stores there. He sent us a link to the video of this guy's river tank.
Yes.
And it has a demo. He's demoing.
It's got two demonstrations. He's demonstrating.
Where's my brain? Okay, he's demonstrating the flow.
First he does it with a little floating plastic jar.
And it's really cool because it just goes around, like, around the edges of the tank like a racetrack.
Yeah, essentially it is a raceway. It looks like he's constructed. It's a little bit difficult to tell in the video, but I think what he has done is put a wall of some kind, maybe some acrylic or something, down the center of the tank. And then the way he's arranged the pumps and so on is so that he's got this circular motion that goes around. It's a rectangular tank, but because there's the raceway,
it's
and the,
really
the water goes in this sort of oval fashion all the way around, like a raceway.
So it's pretty neat. And then he has another video of the fish actually swimming in the current.
Yeah, and we watched the clown loaches surfing. It's got Beach Boys music in the background, and mostly it's the clown loaches that seem to get a kick out of it. The rainbow fish, I don't know, the rainbow fish looks kind of like it's saying, how do I feel about this? But the clown loaches look like they're having fun. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
so those are fun
it's
videos.
Definitely worth a look, so check it out.
Okay. Last person.
Wow, is this going to be a short episode?
I know, it'll be short. That's okay, because then I don't get another fit of hysteria and just laugh for 10 minutes.
I know, if we had kept that on the podcast, it would have been 10 minutes long.
Yeah, see? Yeah. I don't know what was so funny. It just. Okay, this is from Ryan. Where is Ryan?
Ryan's
in
Arizona.
He was talking about. Remember we had the video on with the Brita filters?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So this is his comment in
Gabriel
reaction to that.
Had the video Gabriel in the Bay Area had the video with the Brita filters.
Right.
How to purify your water.
And Ryan says, my only concern with this softening method is the way the ion exchange resins work. In most cases, they replace calcium and magnesium with sodium, which is not good for long-term plant and fish health. I also did some research on the Brita site and found that the filtering capacity for the filters is 40 gallons for the pitcher filters and 100 gallons for the faucet filters. Mm-hmm. So one cartridge is not going to last you very long.
Right. And assuming you've got two of them on there, then maybe you'll get about 80 gallons if it's a pitcher filter. And I don't know. I know that Gabriel was saying that he tests it, which is important because this... Ryan brings up some good valid points that he tests it to make sure that it's in the right range, and you'd have to do that frequently, especially when you think you might be getting near the end of the valuable life of the useful life of the filter. So it's a very good point. In terms of the salts, now that could be an issue too. In looking at Gabriel's tank, it doesn't look like there are any problems, but it might be worth it for Gabriel to just get a hydrometer
and
check the specific gravity of the water and see if there's any measurable salt getting into it. Because there are some, I mean, a lot of, you know, the ion exchange resins do that, but there are some that there's one that I can think of that's called a tap water filter. I don't know what brand it is, but it's made for aquarium use specifically, and I believe that the technology, and I could be wrong here, but I believe the technology used is ion exchange resin, and I guess I sort of assumed that they wouldn't be using, they wouldn't be adding sodium to the water because that wouldn't be very good for your fish, and they're selling it on, you know, Dr. Foster's and Smith Aquatics sells it and so on as a way to filter your water.
Right.
So I guess I was kind of thinking, oh, it was sort of along those same lines, but it would be worth it to look into that and just get a hydrometer out and see if there's measurable specific gravity that would be problematic. Because, you know, tap water has some sodium in it, usually, but not a whole lot, but you don't want enough that it could cause issues with the tank. It looks like Gabriel's plants, like I said, are doing well, but definitely something to look into and keep in mind as
maybe keep an eye on long term too.
And it seems like a test like that would be fairly easy to do, so might as well.
That's it.
Oh, there's one more thing.
Oh, what?
Okay, I remembered this at work because, you know, a long time ago, I decided to do an experiment. I don't know how long ago it was, so it wasn't a very documented experiment, I guess, because I don't have a record of how long ago it was when I started.
Okay.
But, you know, I wanted to try putting the pothos into the Beta tank. And basically a sort of aquaponics, but not the kind that has the beds of like lightweight expanded clay aggregate that are periodically irrigated and then drained. Not that kind, but just where you have the roots in the water and see what happens.
Okay.
And this is how the experiment panned out.
How did it pan? Okay.
The first thing, I put the plants in, they begin to grow very quickly. And they did very well. They rooted extremely quickly, and they began to just grow like crazy. But then, and the leaf size increased from the original leaf size of the plant. They looked extremely healthy. And then I noticed that the leaf size began to decrease. And the leaf size right now is actually quite a bit smaller, and I think the deal is actually that the there's not enough waste produced by the plant.
Because you only have, what, how many betas in that tank?
Right now, I only have one. One. In that tank. And yeah. I've got one in the other tank that's nearby, but it doesn't have any of the puffus, and it's just got normal
plants. So it's not
enough plants. Yeah.
Fish.
There aren't enough fish in that tank to give the plants enough waste. There's plenty of water and everything, and I even supplement it with comprehensive plant supplement, and I think that helps. It's probably what's keeping them going.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not enough. I think I need to do pothos. I need to put fish that produce a lot more waste. Like, I took a cutting from that plant.
You good with the goldfish.
Yeah, with goldfish would be great, I think, if you have enough in the tank. I put it on the frog tank, Hito's tank. You know, he's a,
he's big, a messy guy
hefty
too,
frog, yeah. Pretty messy. I put pothos cutting from that same plant on his tank, and they're doing well, and the leaves are coming out large. And it's rooting well and everything. So I would say that with betas, you might do something a little less hungry for nutrients. A
like
smaller
what?
Plant or a slower growing plant, like maybe one stalk of lucky bamboo for the whole tank.
Oh,
something
okay.
like that. That might work. But at any rate, so I think I want to try to eventually take those plants and make one of the aquaponic systems that has the expanded, lightweight expanded clay aggregate in it. And pipe water from the goldfish tank into it, and then have it drip back into the goldfish tank, and then let the pothos go nuts and grow over the wall. That would be cool.
That would be fun.
But I don't think the one beta is enough for all the plants that I've got on there. So anyway, it was an interesting experiment, and the plant is still alive, still doing fairly well. It's just growing much more slowly than with smaller leaves.
Are they smaller than when you first put it in?
They are. They went from, you know, a medium size to very big when I first got in the tank. And
tapered off.
Interesting.
Interesting.
But, yeah. So that is that.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. For comments and or questions that may be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquarimax.com.